Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
We come today back to the book of Ephesians. We've been studying verse by verse, and we're in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start actually in verse 8 in a moment, but let me remind you where we left off. We were in Ephesians 5, the first passage, verse 1, simply says, "Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love." Walk in love. That should be normal, par for our course. Heard this funny story about this fellow. He was driving home from work about 6 p.m., and he was listening to Focus on the Family on the radio, and the psychologist said, "All right, husbands, every day you need to tell your wife that you love her and that she's the greatest." So he thought, "Yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to do that." Well, he whips in the driveway. He dashes in the back door. His wife is there at the kitchen sink. He runs up to her. He grabs her, and he puts a Hollywood kiss on her. When he comes up from fertile air, he says, "Honey, I love you so much. You're the most wonderful wife in the world." Well, at that, she burst into tears. She just starts boo-hooing. He says, "Well, darling, what's wrong?" She said, "This has been the worst day I can imagine. It's been horrible. It's been terrible. This morning, the car wouldn't start. The kids have been fussing and fighting all day long. The washing machine overflowed. And now you come home drunk." Is it how it is in your house? You see, is love such a rare expression that it's an anomaly? No, the goal of God for those who are Christ followers is for us to imitate the Lord and walk in love. And why do we do that? Because, but would you make this note? Here's why. Because we have received the light of God's revelation. We've received the light of His truth. Step out of your darkness, therefore, and walk in God's illumination. Step out of your darkness and the devil's deception that is conveyed by this world's corruption, and walk in God's illumination. That is the message of Ephesians 5. Let's dive in and let's see what God can teach us today, starting in verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret, but in all things become visible, and they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, 'Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, I pray with intensity that you would get me out of the way, that your illuminating, transforming truth would come shining through. Father, I pray that you would teach us how to be children of the light and look like you. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would take your truth and apply it to every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Well, here's what I want to remind you of. In all of Paul's letters, they are divided into two parts. The first part, for instance, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 would be theological. And then Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 are practical. That's the so what part. How do you put this into life? How do you put it into play? And so here we are in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're learning the so what. We learn in Ephesians 1 who we are in Christ. We are forgiven. We're His children. We're heirs. We have been blessed beyond measure. And now, how do we put that into play? Well, we have seen the light. Now we're going to become the light. That's the goal. So let's observe four features of light. Since you are children of the light, live like it. And let's start with number one. Light links to your primary assignment. Light links to your primary assignment. Again, revisit verse 8. For you were formerly in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. This is your primary assignment. Let me remind you that biblically, light is always linked to the nature of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God steps out into the chaos, into nothingness, and He makes a declaration. And do you remember what it was? In Genesis 1, 3, God said, "Let there be light." Let there be light. Because that is essentially His nature. God is light. We learn through David's declaration in Psalm 27, verse 1, David said it like this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I dread?" Then Jesus comes in John 8, verse 12, and refer to it, please, on your worksheet. And He makes this monumental statement of self-revelation. He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows after me will not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life." You see, this is an illuminating revelation, and it's also an invitation for us. Let me give you the frame. Here's the backdrop. Jesus made this statement during the Feast of the Tabernacles. During the chronology of the book of John, this is the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles was a celebration of light. And during the Feast of the Tabernacles, which was reminding the children of Israel that God had guided them through the wilderness wandering to the promised land, and one of the ways He guided them was through a pillar of fire. And so the priest would construct on the Temple Mount three enormous candelabras. They required a scaffolding and ladders, and each of the candelabras was fed by a 20-gallon bucket or bowl of oil. So during the Feast of Tabernacles, at sunset, right when the sun was slipping below the horizon, they would light that oil and illumine these candelabras. It was the brightest light in Jerusalem that could be seen all year. It not only illumined the entire Temple Mount, it illumined the city. Oh, it was spectacular. And the priest would sing and worship and dance all night in the light of those candelabras. Well, Jesus had come to teach at the temple. And with the backdrop of those candelabras, they had been freshly extinguished. You could still see them smoldering in the air. You could smell the burnt oil. Jesus comes and He says, "These lights are temporary. These lights are artificial. But I am the eternal light of the world. And whoever follows after me, you will not have to stumble in the darkness, but you will have the very light of God that gives you eternal life." That is why this statement is so significant. But there's one more step. Let me show it to you. Again, refer to your worksheet, because Jesus says not only see the light, He says be the light. Look at Matthew 5, verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You see, that's our assignment. It's almost a relationship between the sun and the moon. Now, we know that Jesus is the Son of God, and in Him inherently is the light of life. But the sun shines on the moon, and the moon does what? It reflects the light of the sun. That's a beautiful perennial analogy that can constantly allow us to see our assignment. Every time you see the sun, every time you see the moon, you should be reminded that your job is to reflect the light of the sun, the S-O-N of God. That's what we're to do, to see the light and to radiantly reflect His light to the world. I remember in Vacation Bible School, they taught us a little song. you probably learned it too, I bet. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, we learned it. This little light of mine, that's really your job description. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let the devil blow it out. No, no. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That is your holy objective. That is your divine design, to see God's light and then to be God's light in this dark world. Well, let's go to the second link in the light chain. It's found in verse 9. Light links to your growth in Christ's likeness. Light links to your growth in Christ's likeness. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. In other words, light links to growth and fruit. I mean, we know that's true in nature. In the biological sciences, we learn about the process of photosynthesis. You know what photosynthesis is. The word photo is the Greek word for light. Synthesis means putting something together. So if you merge the words, photosynthesis is light puts everything together. As a matter of fact, it's the basic component of the food chain. Light is trapped in a plant through chlorophyll in this process of photosynthesis, and that energy is captured, and that's what makes a plant grow. And then animals eat plants, and that energy, stored light, is then transferred to that animal. And then we consume animals, and the food chain goes on and on. It's all based on light. As a matter of fact, the scripture affirms it. Please look on your worksheet, see John 1, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In other words, life is linked to light. Now, God's goal for us is so simple. He wants to step out of our death and our darkness. He wants us to step into his light and look like him. His holy objective is for you and I to grow into the image of Jesus Christ, to be a bright, radiant reflection of him in this world. And that happens when we produce this fruit that's referred to. Again, you can't have a plant that grows without light, and light will then prompt that plant to produce fruit. Now, it says here part of that fruit is goodness, righteousness, and truth, but a larger list would be found in Galatians 5. The fruit of God's Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, growing lushly on the limbs of my life should be those fruits if I am walking in the light of Jesus Christ. If I'm soaking up his light and truth, then he will grow fruit in me. But if you stay in the dark, if you linger in the shadows, the opposite occurs. Instead of having the fruit of light, which would be love, you generally grow some horrible crops like hate. Instead of joy, there's a sour, malignant, negative attitude. Instead of peace, there's restlessness, there's distress, there's frustration. Instead of being self-controlled, you're out of control, or controlled by your emotions, or controlled by other people instead of controlled by God. So I would suggest to you that it is superior to learn to walk in the light, which simply means that you're constantly absorbing the light of God and you're growing into his image. Let me give you another biblical example. It would come from the life of Moses. Do you remember when Moses was leading the children of Israel and they were in the wilderness and God was guiding them by this pillar of fire? God said to Moses, come up here on Mount Horeb. I want to talk to you. And when God interviewed Moses, do you remember what God looked like? It was called a Shekinah glory. It was pure, radiant, magnetic light. And when Moses went back down from the mountain, do you remember how being in the presence of God affected him? Do you remember his face glowed, his countenance glowed so brightly that he had to put a veil over his face? I wonder what it was like at night when he went to sleep with Miss Moses. I can just hear Miss Moses saying, hey, honey, put the light out. He said, I did. Well, it's bright as daylight in here. He said, I know, it's my face. And I can just hear her say, cover that thing up. I mean, I just can't take it. But can't you just see Moses glowing because he's been in the presence of God? And frankly, that's my prayer for me and you. that we will grow in Christ and glow for Christ. That is what He wants. He wants us to radiate and reflect His presence as we grow into His image. Let me take you to number three, the third link in the light chain. Light links to sins exposed. Look at verse 11. Light links to sins exposed. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. You see, in the Bible, sin is called darkness. The devil is called the prince of darkness. As a matter of fact, if you look across the page at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness." So darkness is a metaphor for saying the devil's work, what is evil, what is sinful, what pulls you away from the things of God. And so the goal, if we are to be people of the light, is for us to expose sin. And we start by exposing sin in our own life. That's why Psalm 139 is an important prayer on your worksheet. Listen to it. "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting." I urge you to pray this prayer. I'm constantly saying, "Oh, Father, turn on the searchlight of your spirit in my spirit. I want to see myself the way you see me. And if there are attitudes or actions, if there are relationships or reactions that don't look like you, I give you permission to rip them out, just like you would pull out a noxious weed from a garden. I want God's Spirit to expose the sin in my life." You see, friends, we live in this fallen world. It's a dark place. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of temptation. And sin will come knock on the door of your attention. I like what the Sunday school teacher said. The Sunday school teacher said to a group of 8-year-old boys, "Kids, what do you do when temptation knocks on the door of your attention?" Johnny said, "I send Jesus to open the door." That's the right response, buddy. Send Jesus to open the door, because temptation is banging on your attention. Temptation is trying to lure you, sucker you in, to pull you back into the dark and away from the light that gives you revelation, illumination, growth, and life. You see, this is our battle. It's between light and darkness. And we're called to expose the darkness in verse 11. Now, let me just acknowledge the obvious. We live in a dark, fallen world, and it's easy for us, even Christ followers, to grow accustomed to the darkness. We can even become immune to the danger of the darkness. We grow so used to it. I think this was interestingly illustrated just a few weeks ago in a news story that came to light about a guy named Phil Robertson. Have any of you heard of Phil Robertson? Raise your hand if you've ever watched Duck Dynasty. Oh, I know what y'all are doing at night. So Duck Dynasty is a fun show. Now, you may have heard that there was quite a flap over Duck Dynasty. Anyway, just seeing if you're paying attention. But Phil Robertson made some statements that made him the number one news story. And let me just give you a little background on Phil. This is off of Wikipedia. I did not write this. This is straight off of Wikipedia, okay? Phil Robertson was born in April 1946. He is an American professional hunter, businessman, and reality television star on the popular television series Duck Dynasty. Robertson is married with 4 children. He is a devout Christian and strongly pro-life. Robertson attended Louisiana Tech University, where he played football, but he turned down an opportunity to play professionally with the Washington Redskins. He received a master's degree in education. Bet you didn't know that. I didn't. And he spent several years teaching in public schools. Robertson became the central figure in a 2013 controversy after he was suspended by A&E Television after saying that homosexual behavior is sinful in an interview with GQ magazine. Facing what was reported as a strong backlash from Robertson supporters, A&E lifted the suspension in 9 days. Now, if you read some of this information, it was really amazing. In the magazine article, what did Phil Robertson say? Remember, we live in a fallen and dark world. And all he said when asked about our society, he said, yeah, we've got a lot of corruption in our society. There are people who engage in all kind of hurtful behavior, like adultery, like drunkenness, like homosexuality. And when he said that, just like the Wikipedia article says, he didn't go off and say homosexuals are just horrible people. He quoted the Bible. So this homosexual propaganda machine kicks into gear and says, Phil Robertson is a hate speaker. They don't talk about any of the merits of what he said. They don't talk about morality. They just attack him. They say, he's a hate speaker. He's an intolerant, bigoted hate speaker, and he ought to be taken off of TV. And so A&E, almost like a lapdog, they just come like a bobblehead, you know, hardly thoughtful. They say, sure, you must be right. Let's be politically correct. And they jerk him. Shockingly enough, Cracker Barrel, have you ever eaten there? Cracker Barrel takes all the Duck Dynasty for sale material out of their stores. It only lasted for 23 hours because the outcry was so enormous. They said, oh, what were we thinking? Time out. We love duck soup. Let's put that all back in. I'm telling you, friends, we live in a day of darkness. And predictably, when Phil Robertson called sin, sin, there was a backlash. Well, didn't Jesus predict that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10? He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. But he said, don't worry about it. Great is your reward in heaven if you will stand for the truth. Now, friends, let me remind you of something that's so important. Oh, I want you to hear my heart. You see, I am a Christ follower. I do Ephesians 5:1. I love the Lord and I love everybody. I love everybody. Everybody is made in the image of God. Jesus died for everybody. I love you. Period, zero, sum total of the game. But just because I love you and accept you, that doesn't mean I agree with you. But just because I don't agree with you, that doesn't make me a hate speaker. You see, when God says no, like a good parent, God's no's are really saying, I love you. When a good parent says to a child, Jimmy, you can't play on I-65 with your toys, you'll get run over. Is that prohibition being hateful? No, it's being protective. If somebody comes to me and say, hey, Pastor Jay, I read this article about drinking diesel fuel for breakfast. I mean, I love that person, I accept them, but am I gonna agree with that absurdity? That diesel fuel will help you? No, it's gonna hurt you. That's idiotic. That is self-evident destruction. So God's prohibition is not condemnation, it's really edification. It's really saying, I love you. So we've got to kind of get this thing straightened back out because the light has become darkness. Up is down in our culture. In is out. A lot of people are coming out of the closets and the Christians are retreating in the closet. And yet the scripture says right here that we are called to expose the deeds of darkness. We simply speak the truth in love. Are you getting what I'm saying? Give me a thumbs up if you're with me. Because this is the great problem that we're facing today. Now, here's the great truth. We live in a fallen world, a corrupted culture. That's okay because against the darkness, the light shines brighter. You see, this is to our favor. So everything is good. I'm not railing against our culture. It's always been that way. But I'm telling you, here's your assignment. Here's your job description. See the light, be the light, and don't be suckered by Satan, and don't be pulled back into the shadows of darkness just because you want to be culturally correct or culturally inoffensive. You are called to speak the truth in love. And lastly, please look at number 4, light links to awakening the sleeper. Look at verse 14. Light links to awakening the sleeper. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, we all know that light wakes people up who are asleep. That's been the drill in my house. I mean, when Mary Ruth and I were raising our four kids, our four wolf cubs in the wolf den, here's how it worked. Mary Ruth would generally get up early and go on a morning walk with some friends, and when it came the right time, I was to wake everybody up. Well, how would I do that? I would go to their room, and the first thing I'd do is pop on the light, and I would say, "Good morning, angels. Come on, Sarah. Come on, Mary Austin. Come on, Alex and Jason. It's time to get up." And what would they say? Oh, and they put their, you know, pillow back over their head. Because light awakens you. They would hide for a moment from the light. That's how we do. But the light is designed to wake the sleeper. And here, the sleep links to spiritual slumber. It's a little bit like when Jesus connected with Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Do you remember there was a man, a wee little man named Zacchaeus, climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when Jesus encountered Zacchaeus, what did he do? He accepted him. He shocked everybody by having lunch at his house. But just because he accepted him, he didn't agree with his horrible activities. Zacchaeus was a scoundrel. He was using his government position to steal money. He was stealing people blind. He was an extortionist. Jesus didn't pat him on the back and say, "Oh, that's great. I just hope you'll keep on cheating them. Give me some of it." He didn't do that. You know what Jesus said? He called him out. More importantly, he called him up. And Zacchaeus emerged from that luncheon and he made this declaration. He said, I see it now. I see the light. And I'm going to make restoration. I'm repenting, and I'll give the money back to everybody I cheated, and I'm going to give a whole bunch more back than I took. And what did Jesus say? Salvation has visited this house today. A sleeper has awakened. And then Jesus makes this monumental statement in Luke 19, verse 10. He said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." That's our purpose, to wake up people who are asleep and the house is on fire, and we've got to get people up. It is so important that we take this seriously, that we not only wake up, but we armor up. Look at Romans 13, verse 12 on your worksheet. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. It's a call to battle. It's a call to urgency. It's a call to take this very, very seriously. Let me give you my motivating scripture. It's from John chapter 9, verse 4. It says, "Work because the night is coming when no man can work." And there Jesus is referring to the fact that one day, someday, you're going to die. And you got a little time left on the meter, and you better not waste it. You better use it for Him. Friend, let me motivate you. Let me call you to put on your armor of light and urgently go to work for the Lord. Do what counts, and that is serving Christ, seeing His light, being His light. Oh, my friend, it works like this. You don't know how much time is left on your meter. We were all shocked when we heard that David Martin had passed away, the photographer. I've known David for many, many years. He lives right down on Court Street. One of Alabama's most talented people. I mean, he's won AP Photographer of the Year awards, and here he was taking a picture of the A&M coach as he was getting his Gatorade bath after A&M won their bowl victory. And right as David Martin, age 59, as he snapped that picture that has become very famous now, his heart stopped beating. That wasn't on his calendar. He made no calculation that would be his last picture, that would be his last game. Friends, one day I'm going to preach my last sermon. I may be doing it right now. One day you're going to hear your last sermon. You may be doing that right now. One day you're going to take your last ride, eat your last meal. You're going to take your last breath and have your last heartbeat. And you better work, because the night is coming when no man can work. It is my holy obligation to tell you the truth, to call you to urgently perform your task, to see God's light, and then to be God's light. Here's the conclusion. Please mark it down. Unleash your light's power. Unleash your light's power. A closing thought. Several years ago, we had taken our family on a trip up to Kentucky, and we were cutting back through the cave area, and we stopped at Mammoth Cave, and we all went to see the cave. It was really impressive. The guide took our tour group down to a place called Cathedral Room, the Cathedral Room. It was enormous. They said square footage-wise, it would be almost the size of the Astrodome. It was huge. And he made this little quip. He said, if the roof caves in, you'll never be buried any cheaper or any deeper. I don't know if he was stating fear or fact, but I mean, he had my full attention. So we were sitting there and he said, everybody sit down, be very still. And he turned off the light. And all of a sudden, in the heart of the earth, in the middle of Mammoth Cave, we were plunged into thick darkness, suffocating darkness. It was so dark, you could wave your hand in front of your eyes and you couldn't see a thing. And all of a sudden, you heard this hiss of the guide striking a match. And that one little match had the power to defeat all of that darkness. And we could see again. Here's your assignment. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let's pray. Dear Father, you make it so simple, so clear. You've given us your illuminating revelation and an invitation that we can step out of our death and darkness and into your love and life and light. And then, Lord, it's just amazing you allow us to share that light in this dark and fallen world. Oh, Father, may we do so. But I pray specifically in this moment, in this service, in these hearts, that your Spirit would be unleashed and that we would hear you speak and we would react accordingly. Lord, I pray for those who are in spiritual death and darkness that they would step out and step into your love and light. I pray that others would choose to add their illumination to this church. And I pray for all of us that we would expose darkness with our light and urgently do so. And I pray for that in Jesus' strong name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.